Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. Your moderator and host, Charles Williams. And I'm joined with my wife, Jolivet, on the Wheel of Steel. Say hello, Jolivet.
Hello, Jolivet.
All right. Tonight we're starting a new book. It's an old favorite of the African Knowledge Beyond the Book Club. It's a book that we opened our book club with over a year ago. It's The Falsification of African Consciousness, A Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy by Dr. Amos N. Wilson.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, it's an old favorite, and we're going to have a good time over this next couple months or so in this text.
Oh, yeah.
You excited?
I am. You know I'm excited. It's my favorite book ever.
Yeah, it's about time. I don't know what took us so long to finally get to this one.
Actually, we started the book club with that book.
Yes.
But we never did, you know, really, I think, fully exhausted in the book club. And then we went on to other subsequent books. And so we're finally coming back a year later and saying, hey, you know, what about that book? So I am absolutely excited about this.
Yeah, it was actually a lot of the members. Many people have a copy of this book already, and so this is a very big favorite. And I know everybody ought to be extremely excited to finally get a chance to share their insights on this text, provided they all read it cover to cover. But hey, we can start over because we're gonna do, you know, each lecture. We're gonna break it down real slow.
Yeah.
Time going through it.
Yeah.
Cause we're in no hurry. We have nothing else to do.
Not a thing.
We actually live to put these book club meetings on for you. That's right. I think about this all night long.
Oh, yeah.
Do not attempt to adjust your radio. There's nothing wrong. We have taken the time to bring you this special show.
Right.
We'll be back in a minute, or what you want to do?
Yeah, take a few moments and get yourself together. Go and find your book. Dial your materials together, and we'll just take a few moments, and we'll be... Let you take get yourselves together, and we'll be back in a few moments. How about that?
All right. My motto is L.A. Sing. WEFUNK, y'all. Now, this is what I want y'all to do. If you got false defects or shortcomings like arthritis, rheumatism, or migraine, whatever part of your body it is, I want you to lay it on your radio. Let the vibes flow through. funk not only moves, it can remove, dig? The desired effect is what you get when you improve your interplanetary functioning shit. Tell me about man here, chocolate-coated freaking habit for me. Doing it to you in 3D, so groovy that I did, man. Once upon a time called now. Somebody says that funk out the dance. I said, stand up. L.A. sing.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us tonight.
All right.
All right.
I hope y'all got yourselves together.
Oh, yeah.
Got your food, got your drink, got your book. You found your book.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully not from under the couch, holding up the, you know, legs on the couch.
Oh, Chucky.
So, here we go. We can start. We're just going to go over a brief, you know, the description of the book, and we'll move on to tonight's feature. Will be the introduction of the text.
And Brother Mean is with us tonight.
All right. What's up, Brother Mean?
What up?
What's going on?
Hey.
Not much. Ready to go.
Right, we're just getting into it. We're going to go ahead and describe the book, what it's about, and go into the intro. Here we go. This book presents two groundbreaking lectures by Amos Wilson. The first, European Historiography and Oppression Exposed, an African Perspective and Analysis, was among the first contemporary analyses which delineated the role Eurocentric history writing plays in rationalizing European oppression of African peoples and in the falsification of African consciousness. It explicates why we should study history, how history writing shapes the psychology of peoples and individuals, how Eurocentric history as mythology creates historical amnesia in Africans in order to rob them of the material, mental, social, and spiritual wherewithal for overcoming poverty and oppression. Moreover, this engrossing lecture fully exposes the relationship between the rediscovery and rewriting of African history and achievement of liberation and prosperity by African people. The second lecture, Eurocentric Political Dogmatism, its relationship to the mental health diagnosis of African people, advances the contention that the alleged mental and behavioral maladaptiveness of oppressed African peoples is a political economic necessity for the maintenance of white domination and imperialism. Furthermore, it indicts the Eurocentric mental health establishment for entering into collusion with the Eurocentric political establishment, oppress and exploit African peoples by officially sanctioning these egregious practices through its misdiagnosing, mislabeling, and mistreating of African peoples' behavioral responses to their oppression and their efforts to win their freedom and independence. All right? So that's what this text is about. That's what you can expect to delve into in this text. And we can you can turn your pages to page one. No Roman numerals. And I mean the actual page one, the Arabic one.
Let me tell you, this is so amazing because that was the back of the book.
Yes, yes, that was the the description on the back. So I want that to be for the record, for, you know, this is going to be for the archives.
Right, right, for the record.
Yeah, so people can, you know.
It's about to be on.
It's about to be on. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. My page, so there you go. It says, here we go. The psychology, consciousness, and behavioral tendencies of individuals and societies are to a very significant extent the products of their personal and collective histories. Both personal and collective psychology are constructed from those experiences which can be consciously retrieved from memory, as well as those experiences which have been forgotten or repressed but still represent themselves in individual and collective habits, tendencies, traditions, emotional responsiveness, perspective, ways of processing information, attitudes, and reflects like reactions to certain stimuli and situations. Both types of experiences interacting with current perceptions are utilized by individuals and groups to achieve certain material and non-material ends. That's a mindful right there.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody have anything they would like to add to that? I'll say about that in the commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'll indulge myself.
Well, come on in.
All right. Now, these behavioral tendencies of a group is basically cultural habits, or what we call stereotypes. Things that people of a certain common ancestry and history do as a part of their socialization or culturation. You know, we talk about, we make fun of it sometimes, and sometimes we condemn ourselves for others' behaviors. There's a lot of work, I think Shahrazad Ali, I think, wrote a book, Are You Still a Slave? And then Dr. James Smalls was lecturing in the 80s about post-slavery traumatic syndrome, and then Dr. Joy DeGruy-Leary wrote a book. She reworded the condition as post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Right.
And that began, that was like some of the early stages in the mid to late 80s on the discourses on transgenerational slavery, you know, behavior problem. Well, you know, we can go all the way to Carter G. Woodson and W. Du Bois and other writers, but I would say in the latter part of the 20th century, I would say the 80s was pivotal in the rediscovering of this, discussion of this, these problems, and which led to Dr. Amos Wilson, you know, bringing it on home, text right here from a historical and psychological, psychoanalytical point of view, or clinical point of view rather.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we can, you know, get in and just like I said, reflect like responses, reaction to stimuli, situations, the way we do things, why we do them, is all based upon our shared experience with white supremacy, you know, oppression. That's what basically we're getting at. He said, in the next paragraph, he said, the psychology of individuals and groups may also, in part, be constructed from historical and experiential amnesia. That is, when an individual or a group is compelled by various circumstances to repress important segments of his or its formative history, he or it at the same time loses access to crucially important social, intellectual, and technical skills associated with that history, which could be used to resolve current problems. Some people call that when a schism is formed in the personality, a split, when the onset of dissociative identity disorder, even before that even happens, you can get, you know, schizophrenia. The personality is split in two because of trauma, and a person has to create different behavioral programs to cope in different situations because they're so traumatic. But the stress actually, does this damage to the central nervous system. and cause this person to experience this where they no longer whole, if you will. It creates that amnesia. And some people, you know, right. So you can get this at any stage of life. Have the personality split because of this trauma.
Right. Would you say that that is actually the purpose?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, you want to. Because they know, because like Wilson says, and other writers on the subject of dissociative identity disorder, they'll talk about how, because they can't access those skills when the person's whole. They can access all this information within their being to resolve conflicts and resolve issues or problems. But with the person being split, they can't access it.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically the person can't coordinate cerebral activity efficiently, you know, to resolve a problem in a timely manner to change the circumstances. I'm saying, so then the circumstances can go on longer, and the person who's doing the oppression has upper hand in terms of time, faster thinking, everything, going to win. He writes that the game in his own favor. And get to think around. We got to think through our mental illness. Finally, individual and group psychology are individual and group psychology are in part constructed from the perception he or it has of its history. The inferences drawn from that history about the kind of person or group he or it may be, what other persons or groups think of him or it, and the destiny that awaits him or it. You know, so people, you know, we have to deal with that group psychology and how we are perceived by other people, our own self-perception, our collective self-esteem, if you will, and what kind of future that we plan to prepare for ourselves. And I think, and then he's saying, now, what kind of future do black people have for ourselves? You know, what do we have? Have you heard of any agenda other than, you know, getting better scraps off old master's table?
And realistically, most of us, you know, that is about the best that we think is available for us. I think we miss the idea, you know, purposely, of course, of our own power.
Right.
And so then we believe that perhaps are actually our highest ideal for ourselves.
Yeah, I see you're right. There is no other idea that there's a need for a totally new paradigm, way of living, thinking, interacting with the world, the removal of white supremacy, the removal of, and the punishment.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy talk.
Right, the punishment of your oppressor. I mean, all of those issues, like, what?
Right. You are high-minded, and you should stop that.
I wish I had been called high-minded by somebody as a result of saying that.
Troublemaker, that's a good one.
I wish that would be a compliment. I'd be like, thank you very much.
Right. So, there's any number of names. Conspiracy theorists. That's a conspiracy that you want to know. You know, whatever.
Are you obsessed with blackness? Oh yes, let that black thing go.
Could even be a terroristic threat. I don't know.
Right.
I remember talking to a group of folks in a room years ago about goals. And everybody was talking about their goal, about doing something, and they came around to me, and they said, well, what is your goal? And I said, to overthrow white supremacy.
Yeah.
And they all stopped, and they looked at me like I was nuts. You know, and it's because that just seems crazy.
Yeah, why would you want
to... Yeah, right, why would you want to do that for?
I mean, because this system is the bomb.
Yeah.
Look at how they got us in line and rescued us out of the junk.
Hey, we're chasing monkeys before we got here.
Yeah, right. Running around through the rescued from an alligator hunt.
Yeah. It goes on. It says the character of individual and collective consciousness and the range of their behavioral possibilities and very significantly influenced by the quality of their recordings and recollections of their historical experiences. All right, that means the histories of your people. Stories, you know, that your great-grandparents or your grandparents told you about their lives, what they used to, how they lived, the difficulties they overcame to establish the family and provide more security. It shapes character and individual awareness of self and your the way and your way how you see your place in the world. And it's important that we have history. Now, one thing we're going to do in the book is we're going to do slave narratives for a long time, or maybe periodically.
Right.
We're going to, like, we'll do a book, and then we'll do a particular, maybe a group of slave narratives. We'll do, first we'll start with some short ones, some very brief ones, and then we'll expand into the long ones, because we got to reconnect with the history some of America, our history in the Americas. Because a lot of this stuff about what life was like on the plantation, a lot of people really don't know, haven't read about the horrors of plantation life. We want to reopen that, to examine that, to see what kind of infections that we have festering in these wounds.
So what do you say to those who said that was a long time ago and that we're revisiting things that perhaps should remain closed?
I'd say the imprint, the impression is already in their peripheral nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
They're carrying it around and expressing the traumas subconsciously. They don't know why they're doing it.
Right.
And when we explore these narratives, these histories by ancestors who set their accounts to writing, then hopefully they'll be able to gain some understanding as to why black folks do some of the things that black people do.
Mm-hmm.
By black people, we don't mean other people, not you.
Yes, exactly. Because I'm mixed. I have Cherokee.
I don't even do that.
Venezuelan. British Columbian. Norwegian.
My family came over here before
the
slave trade, so I don't have nothing to do with that.
I don't have anything to do with that. Because I have so little African in me that we've forgotten all about it.
Yeah, we don't even remember that. Hey, that's what I'm saying. Anyway, Dr. Wilson goes on. We're on page 2. He says, to manipulate history is to manipulate consciousness. To manipulate consciousness is to manipulate possibility. And to manipulate possibilities is to manipulate our. So if you got the ability to rewrite history, especially another person's history, you got the ability to create a reality or to distort reality. It is perverted. And to manipulate possible disease is to make, black people, we don't believe we can do certain things. We have a very pessimistic view of what's possible that we can do to change our condition. So that's why black history writing has always been discouraged, taken as credible.
Right.
Instead of the slave narratives, the real thing about them, you find out that there was always an attack on the authentication of the slave narrative.
Mm-hmm.
There was always an attack on whether it was legitimate. If the Negro wrote it, he shouldn't be. First, it would be like, if somebody wrote it for him, they say it was no good. He didn't write it because he had a white person or editor to write to,
account.
Right.
They started doing the autobiography. They said, oh, the nigga ain't got no credibility.
Right.
You know? No, and from their point of view, they trying to keep the black man from accepting his own worry. You got to get it from a white person. Ain't no white person going to tell you all that.
Right. Right. Even with the narratives that we have, you still don't hear of all of those revolts. Of course not.
David Blight, professor of African American history at Yale, he transcribed two memoirs in a one volume called Slave No More.
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was reading about that one.
Right.
And he just, you know, he put he published the text as it was in the Pidgin English, and he did, you know, a more modern translation, basically.
Mm-hmm.
In the modern vernacular. And, you know, it was a very interesting read. But, you know, he's doing that now. Almost 200 years later. Back then, I mean, I guess back then people took it more seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And now, in this current era, people are running away and hiding from the slave genre. So he can do it without raising too any attention, because black people don't want to look at it. White people think it's insignificant because they feel they've successfully lived it down.
Right.
Gotten away with it, baby.
Right. And I think that's what a lot of this is all about. We were listening to the show last night about the Caucasian male and his inability to, the way that I interpreted it anyway. This is my own interpretation of the white Caucasian male's inability to justify what he has done and not having had to pay for it.
Right.
So what they do is they do six little things that ultimately are their attempts at absolving themselves or absolution.
Right, absolutely.
There must be reciprocity. There's recompense. For every action, there is a reaction.
Wages of sin is death.
Right. So you cannot do these things that they've done and walk away. And they know that.
The European collective consciousness is crying out for its own judgment.
For its own judgment. That's right.
And that's the real hard truth. Nobody gonna tell you.
Right.
Now, that was on the Honey Soul radio program with Tracy Bryan, Lady T. I believe we were listening to last night. Is that correct?
Right. That's what. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about the black woman and the white male and the domination thing, and how the white male seeks out the black woman to humiliate him.
Right.
It's the domination humiliation deal. And so they were talking about, and there were Caucasian men who called in and like, oh yeah, they really, really want the black woman to do that. And one of the interesting things, just to go a step further, maybe a little bit off topic, but they tend to refer to the black woman in a matronly way. They want to call her mother and this kind of thing. And it is as if they understand the concept that the black woman, is the mother of civilization. But more importantly, that they deserve punishment. They deserve punishment. And so I don't know if because of the mental conditioning, they don't believe that black man is capable, or if he has been rendered impotent in that area and is unable to carry out the proper judgment against them.
Right.
They go to the black woman and seek out these repeated exercises in payment.
Right. I see, right. It is the black man has been rendered impotent. However, They getting it from the woman and the man because they do the cuckolding now with the man.
That's right. They do cuckold. That is true.
And they do the thing where they want their women to be fertilized by the black man.
Right.
You know, and
they are humiliated by having to watch their women be given to the black man. But still, that is domination over the black male because he is. You know, the white man, even though he is the one who is cuckold, he is still overseeing.
Right. He's still in power to make sure nothing don't get out of control.
Right. He is still in power. So these are all sick, I think, exercises in, them trying to make recompense when we all know what really needs to be done.
Right. We need to be done a righteous judgment and obviously declare.
And they're playing it out in the bedroom.
Right. Yeah, they're playing it out
in
the bedroom.
How much does all of this cost? never mind. I'll look it up.
You are so bright. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the real insight for that. Okay, second here. He said, herein lies the moral threat of Eurocentric historiography to African existence. But what must be the form and functionality of African consciousness and behavior if they are derivative of an African history written by their oppressors? The history of the oppressed, as written by their oppressors, shape the consciousness and psychology of both the oppressed and oppressed. We just mentioned that, right, folks? I got to this. They don't want you recounting your own history. Matter of fact, that was a big deal when I was first really getting into the Afrocentric debate, Afrocentric history, by these Heritage Foundation people.
Mm-hmm.
Back in the black perspective on history, like, you can't have one.
Right.
You can't. You know, they are the only people who can authenticate and certify a view, and they want to destroy the credibility of any professor, black or white. Matter of fact, they done tore Martin Bernal up over at, where's the Martin Bernal? He's at Cornell University. He wrote Black Athena in 3 volumes,
mm-hmm.
and Black Athena Revisited. And they, when those academic soldiers came out, and they just fired away at Bernal.
Mm-hmm.
For years. I mean, it wore him out over a very short period of time. So I guess he wrote that book because you saw his health decline. He said, help to legitimate the oppressive system and to maintain imbalance of power in favor of the oppressor. Eurocentric history writing is essentially an exercise in publishing apologetics for the European oppression of African peoples, often a gross and crude attempt to create and shape a subordinate and inferior African consciousness and psychology. In other words, they have to break you down,
mm-hmm.
count, and they rebuild you again with their propaganda.
Right.
Huh? They're going to tell you what your history was. What your frame of mind is going to be, that they can continue abusing you as they have been. He said, it seeks to impose a social, historical, culture, amnesiatic tax on the heads of African peoples and thereby rob them of their most valuable resources, their knowledge, truth, the reality of self, culture, heritage, and identity, mind, body, and souls, their wealth, land, product of their labor, and lives. Eurocentric historiography is the most formidable ally of white racism and imperialism. Its treacherous role in this regard must be explored and reversed by an African-centered historiography written by African historians dedicated to historical accuracy and truth, historians who are unafraid to speak truth. How?
Mm-hmm.
You know, write the books, can't be worried about getting fired. After you shouldn't publish the book until you ever retire. Or publish it posthumously. You know what I'm saying? Certifying that this is your work before you die.
Mm-hmm.
You got to, you know, you got to put yourself in a position to put together the best, most highest quality accurate historical information and be able to enlighten your people. That's what you got to do. And be unafraid.
Mm-hmm.
You'll need some help from high to be able to accomplish that. You can't, you know, you try it by your right arm and you're going to see what's going to happen to you. The Clarion Call for the Writing of a Restorative African Historiography, a Critical Undertaking, is a call for the healing of the wounds of African peoples, for African unity, for the freeing and expansion of African consciousness, for the reconquest of African minds, bodies, lands, resources, and African autonomy. That means having African existence without any dependence on European.
Mm-hmm.
European powers or whatever, or sides of government. The Eurocentric social institution conspires with Eurocentric historiography to handcuff and incarcerate African consciousness, to justify and facilitate subordination and exploitation of African. One such institution is the Eurocentric Mental Health Establishment. Product and functionary of European imperialism, this establishment promulgates explanatory systems, diagnostic techniques, labeling, and treatment regimes which obscure true origins of mental diseases and maladaptiveness, the effects and after effects of white supremacy. So there you go. He's telling you, you know, they're going to build this whole system of so-called mental health.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to tell you what, like they had, remember there was a condition called, I don't know what it was called, when a person who was living, an African person in captivity, they won't escape, they had a name for that as a mental illness.
Right.
Yeah, it was a disease. It was described as the desire to want to escape, which was a disease.
Right.
You know, that they used for against slaves.
Mm-hmm. What the hell is that? Totally. See what I'm saying? They're gonna punish you. They're gonna make you crazy. I mean, they really try to push make you. They're gonna try to make you crazy. And then when you try to correct what it is that they're doing to you, they're gonna call that, because to them, your maladaptive behavior is where they want you to be. They saying no, man. Don't try to get away. You gotta learn to love this him. What we got for you. Now that's crazy, trying to get away. You need to try to stay here.
You know what I was talking about before is that the description, the definition of mental retardation fits most black people.
Yes, it does.
I think that's I don't have it in front of me now, but you just have to look at it and you would see where it actually fits the description of most black people.
Right.
Which is kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
Scary. Very. Because this is how we're going to correct it, by focusing on healing ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Holistically.
Holistically, that's right. Say it, sister. He said, by these means, this establishment, that's called mental health establishment, makes it the most important contribution, along with Eurocentric historiography, to the falsification and misdirection of African consciousness and behavior. In the context of a racist social system, psychological diagnosis, labeling, and treatment of the behavior of politically oppressed persons are political acts performed to attain political ends. Right, he said. So when they handling you bad at the mental health facility or whatever, and it's all a part of the political power structure, and it's done to maintain your oppression.
Mm-hmm.
All that psychic stress you feel when you go to the bank, you know, all that stress you feel at school, you know, or with all your places of employment, It's all a part of keeping you stressed. That stress is weakened, basically. That's pressure, psychic pressure. Because they didn't physically touch you, they didn't physically put an object on your nerves and your arms and on your temples. That was done through the mind power. That's what we call it, psychic.
Right.
You felt that. People say it's atmosphere thick, like I can cut it with a knife. They're trying to say that this non-material state of awareness is tangible.
Mm-hmm.
As material, corporeal essence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah, right on.
And you know, the ultimate goal of the mental health system is to bring everybody to what's called normalization.
Mm-hmm.
And normalization is really compliance.
Right.
If you don't comply, you're not normal.
Right.
If you object to what's going on, you're not normal.
Right.
If you're not normal, you need to be medicated.
Right.
And that's the how they view it.
Yeah, normalization. They're gonna define what's normal.
Mm-hmm.
The madman, psychopathic, rapist, serial killing, blood drinking, carpet bagging,
joke trickster,
eating trickster, rapper, child raper, pedophiling, embezzler,
brother and sister marrying.
Brother and sister marrying, raping cousin. Ever. Gonna tell money. What? Arm up.
Red no. Ball restraint gag.
Iron chain wearing. All in sex. Person in handcuffs.
Leather bustier with the stainless steel nipple rings with extra torque. Wearing.
These are people they call torture sexy.
Mm-hmm.
And a person with some thumb screws on and some, you know, head vices, and they say, They're going to try to tell you what's normal. These people who go into his heads and cut out the frontal lobe and say, this is my fun day afternoon. They're in no position to make any kind of, for you, I'm telling you, you should never accept any kind of psychological diagnosis from these people. I don't care if y'all crazy. Because everybody is. We live in the worst place on earth.
Right.
You got to be crazy just to not try to be running for the border every day. You got to be.
Yeah.
So just confess to yourself, I'm insane, I'm an American. A black, I mean, you're American, you still live here, and you ain't trying to walk out the door. Oh, they have Americanized you. I don't care how pro-African we are. We know they got us brainwashed to a certain extent that we still here.
Put you on the roll.
You know what I say? I say, if a person kidnaps you, holds you in their house, restrains you, beats you, abuses you, lets you go, and then you stand out on their lawn asking for a job, something's wrong with you.
Right.
And that's pretty much us.
We got to look in the mirror and see that we got a serious.
But wait a minute, what you really didn't add that you have to go back to those same people and ask them to pass laws so that they can pay for what they've done.
Oh, get right. They're gonna make this thing right.
You should pay for what you've done. Can you pass a law to do that?
They say we sure will.
Certainly.
We're gonna start working on that.
They have 40 acres and a food.
And 40 acres and a food. We'll start working on that in the next 10 years. We're gonna put together a plan to change things.
Just think about it.
Let me take a break. We're gonna think about it.
That's right. I think it is time for a break.
I think so. Because you've just been ranting.
I know. Go ahead and We'll be back after these messages.
All right. If you want to call in and get in on the topic, the phone number is 323-580-5707.
According to Henry David Thoreau, a man is rich in proportion to the number of things that he can afford to let alone. With that in mind, we find our people locked in a permanent cycle of poverty, especially those who mistakenly believe that they somehow have arrived, only a paycheck from foreclosure. Although we find black incomes at an all-time high, we still lack wealth, and we also lack the understanding of the purpose of wealth, which is safety, growth, and security. But it's not hard to turn this around. It will first require us to take a look at the bigger picture, and also it will require us to stop flossing. We have to understand that that $10 that we waste every day equals $300 a month, the same $300 that you find yourself missing every month, the same $300 required for you to invest into your family, into your community, and into your nation. Please join us on Facebook, African Money.
Listen to Love in Black with Charles and Jolivet on the Tribal Family Station on blogtalkradio.com.
There we will share our experiences and our insights on marriage and love, sex, respect, and honor. We're on every Thursday evening on the Tribal Family Station.
Black in public, black out loud, and black on purpose. For some, it's where your deprogramming begins, and it's where others on the path come for fellowship. Come on in and kick your shoes off. Visit us at www.facebook.com/blackinpublic. Put your fist in the air, y'all, because we're going to keep it black.
African Knowledge Beyond the Book appears every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time. We are a literary society dedicated to the study of African-based psychoanalytical texts. We hope you will join us as we delve into the inner working of our African consciousness. African Knowledge Beyond the Book, every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Central Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com.
Listen in to African Conversations on the African Knowledge Network, where we will converse with researchers about matters significant to the African diaspora community. Join us on Facebook on the African Conversations community page. Enjoy the dialogue on African Conversations on blogtalkradio.com.
We were just getting ready to get into, we think we just kind of made a lot of descriptive remarks about our oppressors and how they want to use diagnosis and mental illness labels to maintain control over us and keep us in a state of maladaptive and mental disease. So we'll go ahead and we'll continue on from where we were. He says here, by these means, the establishment makes its most important contribution, along with the Eurocentric historiography, to the falsification and misdirection of African consciousness and behavior. In the context of a racist social system, psychological diagnosis, labeling, and treatment of the behavior of politically oppressed persons are political acts performed to attain political ends. For oppression begins as a psychological fact and is in good part a psychological state. Oppression is to operate with maximum efficiency, must become and remain a psychological condition, achieving self-perpetual perpetuating motion by its own internal dynamics and by its own inertial momentum, meaning that it energizes itself. Once the initial cause, that is the kidnapping, the torture, the murder, the programming, and of the African, and the reprogramming of the European, because the European has to be reprogrammed as well to perpetuate these horrors on people.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just born with this desire and ability to murder, rape, and kill. I mean, there are some people in their society who are bred, and they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Society at large has to be conditioned. That's why they have to write these books. That's why they have to educate them and create, you know, a whole educational system geared toward the brainwashing of everybody to keep this momentum going. And it won't stop. However, in the Willie Lynch study, they do talk about there being a certain period of time. It mentioned, they said, about 300 years that kind of condition could last. And they would have to do something radical to recapture individual or the group of people and retune them, basically. That's us. So it does have its own self-perpetuation, you know, with regard to social structures and everything that energizes it. However, like I would say, the period we're in right now is where we're in a phase where that is running out. That program is starting to weaken. It's not as powerful as it was in the last 2, 3, 5, 10 years ago. And so our oppressors have new programs designed to re-traumatize us so that it can continue again for another 3 to 5 thousand years. The Eurocentric mental health establishment, a beneficiary of the white domination of African peoples, a very important cog in this self-perpetuating machine. Its reason for being is to nurture and sanction the imperialist and racist regime which fathered it. Thus, its explanatory and its treatment approaches ultimately must be exposed as political ideology and oppressive political governance, parading as empirically validated principles of psychological and medical science, quote-unquote objective psychotherapeutic and psychiatric practices. Eurocentric mental health establishment consequently cannot provide adequate explanations, rationale, preventative and remedial practices for African peoples whose psychology is derivative of a singularly unique history and cultural experience and of a necessarily revolutionary drive to achieve liberation from subordination.
Hmm.
Right. The establishment is trying basically can't help you.
Right. What benefit is it of theirs?
Right. They can't help you. They the reason why you in it.
Right.
Their mind scientists are the ones who created the torture systems to gain your compliance and submission.
Right.
They are not going to undo that.
Right. What benefit is
it? Right. It's not even set up like that. So basically, you may, you know, somebody may go to a psychologist, they may get some clarity or some realization on some particular matter.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, let's say psychiatry, a European psychiatry, is not a complete science. First of all, it's only complete in the sense of brainwashing for oppression. Now, it's a complete science in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, I'm going to say the words of Paul Moon, he said, white man got a brainwashing machine that won't quit.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they can do. They can wash the hell out your mind. Now, as far as healing you, they ain't really got nothing for that. But they will fragment you.
Oh, yeah, they will.
They'll break you into 1,000 pieces, 1,000 personalities. They can do that well and control all of them.
That's right. Put you back together as a Frankenmonster.
A Frankenmonster. So they can do that. You got to know what the European can do, what his powers are, what is he specialized in. He's specializing in mind control.
And the limitations.
Right. And the limitations. Right. And they in the mind control programming, they make it so that they program your ass so that you can't successfully put your ass back together again. You know? But it ain't impossible. It's just that once they get a hold of you, like some Jason Bourne type program, you, anybody who read The Bourne Identity, The Bourne Supremacy,
mm-hmm.
anybody who read, you know, Fritz Springmeier's work.
Yep.
Identify an undetectable mind control slave. You can be with anything like that. Then you'd understand what I'm talking about. Anybody read any other's works on that? But if you ain't familiar with that, then, you know, you don't know what they're working on. How many minutes we got left for the end of this segment?
About 4 minutes.
Okay, you want to announce the call number? The call-in number?
Yes, we are about to finish up for the evening. If you'd like to get in on the last few minutes of the program, you can give us a call at 323-580-5707. Otherwise, to people listening on the browser and to those in the chat room, thank you for joining us tonight. We'll be back next Wednesday at 10 p.m., Central Standard Time, as we continue with Dr. Amos's book, The Falsification of African Consciousness.
All right. We just have a few more minutes.
A textbook workbook.
Action for victims and perpetrators of racism.
Okay, I'm sorry. I just had to say that.
Oh, hey, everybody like that.
Habitual now. Anyway, all right, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like we miss reading that.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm having fun with that title. Now, he says, Eurocentric historiography, biasing and falsification of history in ways which justify white supremacy is not merely the fiddle-faddle of absent-minded professors ensconced in academic ivory towers. Involves a deliberate and serious exercise in myth-making in the development of Eurocentric cultural mythic thought which rationalizes a concrete social order founded on the perpetual subordination of African peoples to European peoples. That's right. The whole ideology of, you know, from the ancient, I guess the ancient mythologies revised in order to program, embed, impress European conscious and African consciousness of African inferiority. That's the whole point of everything they write, teach, do, say, worship, is to that end. You must know that. Moreover, the Eurocentric social order, which the European historiographic and behavioral science establishments legitimate and support, is essentially a social machine which manufactures a consciousness and behavioral orientation African peoples designed to serve the purposes of white supremacy. In this volume, we begin an exploration of the working mechanisms of the machine and the means by which it is to be dismantled. Hear that? The goal of your life to raise your children is for the dissolution, dismantling, the subordination, the abrogation, and the humiliation and the destruction of white supremacy.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with that.
All right.
The healing, that's not it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You thought it was it.
I did.
You thought, ah, gotcha.
And you tricked me.
Right. The healing of the collective African body, mind, and spirit. The expansion of African consciousness calls for the accelerated advancement of African-centered historiographic, social, and natural sciences. The development of incisive critical disciplines, which can make decisive contributions to the establishment of a new world social order in which all humanity are free of oppression and degradation. It is our hope that the two lectures of the and the appending essay included herein will make positive contribution to this end. That's right. We calling for a new world order too. And we're gonna get one, whether they like it or not. Right? Day 9. Verse, I think 25, talking about the stone uncut from human hands. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Gonna cover the whole earth. He's on a, is the this right, all this right, white supremacization, domination. It's on borrowed time. Almost over. We are announcing. It's an inevitable destruction.
That's right.
Right. Curtains.
Let me help out this piece.
Help out this piece. Over.
All right, y'all. Thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Right.
It's been real and it's been fun. We will see you next week. Same time, same bat channel. You got anything to say?
Yes, I do. Actually, don't, after you make that announcement, as you say those words for our audience, you check back with me again.
Okay.
We will begin part one, that is the first lecture in this title. It's the European Historiography and Oppression Exposed, African Analysis and Perspective. And we'll kick that off.
That's going to be interesting. And this book has no chapters per se.
It's a lecture.
So, right. So, just got to kind of keep up.
Well, it does have sections in the lecture, so... We'll cover certain. We'll do the description of each program. I can go ahead and type in the audience which parts of the lecture we'll be covering.
Okay.
Do that.
It's exciting. So, grab your copies if you haven't already.
Right.
Dr. Amos's book, The Falsification of African Consciousness.
Find your way to an African bookstore of carries African authors and get you a copy. Or borrow one from a friend. Or the library. The libraries have them. You can request at your library to purchase these books to, support African-centered authors.
Yep. Yep. All right.
See you next week.
All right. Peace.
come on.